This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And your sous chef, Frank Proctor, alongside Charlie, who's in the studio and all set to rock and roll on this Thanksgiving long holiday weekend.
Gorgeous weekend. Yeah, yeah.
So you got a nice day planned tomorrow, huh?
The whole family? Exactly. Well, I'm planning on my brother doing the planning, actually.
Having
Thanksgiving at my brother's house. And he's
You're in charge of what?
Pies. He's in charge of turkey. I'm in charge of pies.
What's Dolly in charge of?
Pretty
well everything?
Stuffing.
And
pretty well everything. She makes the stuffing.
Dolly, I want to tell you, she rolled her eyes when she said that.
No. My mom makes amazing stuffing, particularly after what you were saying, your sister-in-law. We won't go there.
Don't go there.
Somebody might hear us.
Getting in trouble?
We're on air, aren't we?
Di makes terrific dressing.
My mother's recipe was actually put on paper with top secret written all across it by my father, because it's such an amazing stuffing.
There is nothing better than having some of that turkey left over, and you keep it in the fridge and you can nibble on it for days and days.
I love leftover turkey.
Yep.
Hot,
absolutely.
Cold,
well, we hope everybody's going to have a wonderful long holiday weekend and turkey and all the rest that goes with it.
That's right. And I have a big load of soil sitting on my driveway right now. A couple of yards was delivered.
I'm busy.
I don't want your help.
Oh, you've got guys lined up, have you?
I've got the young men set up to do this, assuming they get out of bed. I'll feed them some breakfast and or lunch. You and I would call it lunch. They would call it breakfast. And then they're on soil dispersing duty this afternoon.
What a dirty job, but someone's got to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah, they want to earn money. It's all about the cash. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts.
Forgot to mention, this is The Garden Show.
Really?
And we actually talk to the listeners, and they ask you questions.
And they sometimes have answers to other people's questions.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's the best.
But they got to know the phone numbers, Charlie, right?
Good point.
So if you live in Toronto, the phone number is this, 416-360-0740, and then anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We'll be talking to our listeners in just a moment, but usually you have a raft of items you like to mention, right?
Well spoken. I definitely have a raft.
And call early, call often. One question per call.
Otherwise, Constable Proctor.
Yes, and Patrolman Proctor. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. All right, so things to mark on your calendar. Monday, October 17th, I will be in Oshawa at the Oshawa Garden Club presenting The Big Freeze, 7:30 p.m. at the St. George's Ukrainian Heritage Center.
What, do you hand everybody an ice cube? What goes on there, The Big Freeze?
The Big Freeze. It's referring to the garden, dear.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the Lakefield Horticultural Society is pleased to announce the speaker for their next meeting is Kathy Duick from Greens Up Ecology Park, and she'll be speaking on preparing your garden and your soil for winter. All right, so that's a better title. It says it better.
Yes.
That's on Tuesday, October 11th, 7:30 p.m. at the Marshland Center in Lakefield. For more information, www.lakefieldhort.org. Also, Tuesday, October 11th, Scarborough Garden Society is meeting at 7:30 p.m. for their general meeting and a free lecture on, guess what, fall-winter gardening, easy-to-make cold frames, and much more, by Kyla Dixon-Muir. She's backed by popular demand at the Scarborough Village Community Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. Guests are always welcome, and refreshments are included. Now, the Burlington Hort Society is having their monthly gardening meeting on Wednesday, October 12th. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, busy week.
Also at 7:30 p.m. Speaker is Kathy. Now, they sent it to me as Kathy Korsma, but I'm sure her name is Kathy Cosma. I'm pretty sure. Kathy Cosmo, she's currently a member and the past chair of the Toronto Beekeepers Co-op. The topic she's speaking on is the importance of being.
Well, there'd be a lot of buzz at the meeting about that, I'll
you
tell you.
Know
oh,
it.
Yeah.
The location is the Burlington Senior Center, 2285 New Street. Again, more information, www.burlington.com. Yeah, BurlingtonHS.com. So BurlingtonHortSociety.com.
Charlie didn't get enough sleep last night,
know,
so you're going to have to bear with her today, folks.
I was up too late. Well, you know why? I was making pie crust.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, that's a good excuse.
October the 14th. I did mention this last week. Yeah. David Tarrant will be at the Noel Ryan Auditorium in Mississauga. He's presenting The Magnificent Abundance, The Gardens and Wildflowers of San Miguel de Allende.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be very cool. He's got probably lots of great photos, et cetera, because he now lives there in Mexico and gardens in this gorgeous location. And that is a fundraiser Who's it fundraising for? I'm not sure. Oh, yes. Proceeds are going to the Riverwood Conservancy. So it is a $20 admission. More info, www.applewoodgardenclub.org. Okay, so one more quick thing. This weekend, tomorrow, Monday, the Hamilton Pumpkin Fest is going on.
Well.
Isn't that great? At RBG. Now, this is a big deal. It's a lot of fun. It's all day, 10 till 6, weather permitting. Well, of course, weather is definitely permitting. It's all about pony rides, kids' fun zones, hay rides, farmer's market.
Face painting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Big pumpkin patch, haunted maze, all kinds of fun stuff for the kids, for the family. Weather is with you. Definitely, if you can fit this in, go for it. All day, like I say, today, tomorrow, and actually, looks like it's on a couple of weekends, right through to the end of October. So all day, 10 till 6 at RBG in the Arboretum.
Good stuff. Hey, give us a call here at the Garden Show. Talk to Charlie Dobbin. She will answer, or at least attempt to answer, your questions about your garden or whatever you got going there at home.
Yeah.
Okay. David Gaskin, our producer, is... I saw him blush moments ago when he typed in the first message, and it was from a lady who's asking about naked lady bulbs. Yeah. And he was actually blushing when he was typing this. But we'll get back to that in just a couple of moments.
There are hundreds of sources for tips on gardening, but you need only one. The AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin continues.
And Frank Proctor alongside the cohort, or sous chef properly termed.
Yeah.
We're going on a little trip to Dundas to say hi to Brenda and talk about this naked lady bulb situation. Hi, Brenda. Good morning.
Good morning, you two.
Morning.
Oh, David, he needn't blush. Just flowers.
Oh, that's okay then.
And yesterday my friend pointed these out to me and I thought they were crocuses. And she said, no, they're called naked ladies. And the bulbs, they come up in the spring with leaves, die back. In the fall, they just have flowers without leaves, hence
right.
the name. And I'm wondering, Charlie, what is the botanical name, and could I buy them somewhere?
You know where I'd probably look for something like that would be from a company called Garden Imports.
Garden Imports.
And what it is, okay, there's a couple of different plants. It could be a couple of different plants. One is Amaryllis belladonna.
Amaryllis.
Or belladonna lily.
Belladonna lily. Okay.
So, and of course, we know the amaryllis we grow indoors at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea, except this one is commonly called, it's same genus, different species, commonly called naked lady because, as you say, it's leaves in the spring, then the leaves disappear, and then later, after 2 months of dormancy, flower stem emerges, and all of a sudden you got these beautiful, fragrant pink flowers.
Mm.
But when you said you thought it was a crocus, how tall were the ones you saw? Were they little?
Very small, about the size of a crocus.
Okay, so
down on the ground in a great big mass.
I wonder if that could... Well, okay, so what we typically think of as naked lady does grow quite a bit taller than that. It grows closer to a meter tall. Like, it's a tall plant.
No, not a short plant.
They
grow at ground level. And I think I should go back to the house where I saw them and knock on the door and ask the owner.
Yeah, you could.
If he doesn't shoot me.
Well, and the... Okay, so there's... Now, Colchisum autumnal, which is the fall crocus... Could be.
What was that name again?
Okay, there is a crocus that grows in the fall.
Uh-huh.
It's called Colchisum.
Can you spell that?
C O L.
C C-O-L?
C-H.
C-A?
C-H. So colchisum, C-U-M.
C-U-M, all right.
Okay, and so that's a fall-blooming crocus.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that that's what you saw, if it was very short, because that is a very low-growing, again, pink flowers, but very low-growing plant.
Right, that sounds like it. It's called,
can
you say that one more time?
Colchisum.
Colchisum,
Yeah, and that's likely what you saw, because they do the exact same thing. Spring.
Can we buy the bulbs here in Ontario anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, a good garden center, I mean, right now is the time to buy any of those bulbs.
Okay.
Certainly the hardy bulbs, particularly, because they are planted typically in the fall to be out all winter and then bloom next year at whatever point, whether they bloom spring, summer, or next fall. So any good garden center, you're in Dundas.
Yeah.
I mean, Terra Greenhouses could have such a thing.
All around.
Yeah, exactly. You've got lots of good garden centers around. And otherwise, on the internet, look for garden imports. I'm sure that Dougald will have something up his sleeve there.
Thank you.
Okay,
Brenda.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you. 9:17 here on a Saturday morning.
Naked lady bulbs.
Yeah.
That's
pretty nifty name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, now, Carrie in Kitchener is on the line. Hi, Carrie. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
Good morning. Fine.
Good morning. I have this plant that has totally stumped me. I can't locate any information.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it Achmea?
I'm not sure.
A-E-C-H-M-E-A.
Oh, C-H.
A-E.
A-E.
Yes, okay, so I got
C-H-M-E-A. It looks like it's from China or Oriental some sort. I picked it up at Home Depot, and I'm like, oh, this is nice. And they're like, oh, well, anything we sell here, go on our website and you can check it out.
Oh, right, except for that.
Excuse me. So it's like, okay, fine. But it doesn't have a Home Depot code on it. And I can't find, I didn't realize it was a potted plant. So I put it outside and now it's, excuse me.
No problem.
All of a sudden it's got two little shoots coming out. So it's like, can I just take this in and planted inside in a pot, or?
Well, I wonder. Oh, I know what you've got. Okay, and is because I was just doing a mental, blank
it's
on that.
It's only got one flower up the middle.
Okay.
Big leaves.
Yes, and the leaves are silver or green?
They're kind of both. They're green with silver tinge kind of in them.
Right. Okay.
And the flower's pointed.
Yep. Yeah, they're a lovely plant. It's actually the pineapple family. It's a bromeliad is the actual family. So the way we grow, where they naturally are found and where they're native to are the subtropical rainforests. And they have virtually no roots to speak of. Tiny, tiny little bit of a root system. But as you point out, it's almost like in the form of a pitcher or a rosette of leaves.
Yeah.
And the way they get water is they catch rainwater in the center of the plant. And that's how they absorb all their nutrients, is through the rainwater that sits in the center. Most plants, we don't usually fill the center of the plant up with water because they would rot. But in the case of this plant, that's exactly how you water them. Don't even waste your time watering the soil. Just make sure the little center always has water in it.
Okay.
And do make sure that the water you put in there is not cold, like straight out of the tap, and preferably is water that has sat out for a day or two, just to try and have fewer, sort of extra salts, like fluorines and chlorines and things in there. You want to have it clean, like rainwater is really what you want. If you have a rain barrel, bring some of that water in to water your Achmea. And that the flower will do just what you said. It'll come right up through the center, and it will take a very long time for that flower to reach its, sort of beauty, and it lasts for months. Those flowers last for 4, 5, 6 months.
So now, obviously now would be a good time to dig it up. It shouldn't leave it out over the winter.
Correct. It will not survive outside.
And then, does this flower eventually disappear, or should I leave it out inside where there's sunlight throughout the winter?
Yes. What I would do, what you want to do is dig it up, get it into a pot with some good potting soil. And bring it inside, put it in a sunny location, preferably a south-facing window or west-facing windowsill. Lots of sun, as I say, continue to keep it moist in the center and just allow it to do this whole flowering thing. It will take a number of months for that flower to come up, be beautiful, and die down.
It sounds like the dig-up process would be pretty easy, you were saying.
Yeah,
a very, very short root
not
system.
Not much of a root system, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So this flower then will die off in the winter and come back up in the summer then?
No, that once that plant flowers, that plant will die.
But, oh, okay.
But, I know, Frank just got sad look on his face. Well, the way it works is that the mother plant, which is the plant you have there now, will die, but daughters will grow from the sides down at ground level. You'll see all these little shoots come out that'll be more little rosettes of leaves.
And it's actually doing that now, and the one looks like it's got like a little tiny flower bulb coming up.
Cool. Yeah, oh, it's beautiful, because, yeah, you can end up with four or five plants in one pot.
No, would you cut those off and
all blooming?
Well,
for starters, yeah, ultimately you will. But for now, I would just lift the whole thing as it is and get it into a pot. But no question, you can sever the daughters from the mother and set up four or five pots, whatever works for you.
Sounds like we should expect a call again from you in about 4 months' time to find out what the heck you do with it now.
Help me.
No, it's great. It's a really pretty plant and easy to grow, as you said, as you know, they've indicated. So, yep, enjoy that.
Perfect.
Thank you very much, Carrie.
Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
And the same to you and yours. And you are with. Goodbye now. AM 740, Zoomer Radio. It's The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, who is busy right now as I speak doing her exercises.
It's
a good thing, too.
Calisthenic time.
Those young guys might not get all that soil done. You're going to have to do it.
I'll be, you know, the whip, you know, I need to be in good shape to get that whip going. So staying pain-free, staying active, and obviously pain-free is important to me when I'm out in the garden, whether I'm shoveling dirt or whipping the boys, one way or the other, I don't want to be hurting.
Sounds like quite the party.
Exactly. So I take something called Sierra Sil, which is a mineral supplement from the Sierra Mountains. The company is based in Vancouver. They're always there to answer your questions if you want to give them a call. They will send you Sierra Sil if you want to try it. They don't say it works for everybody, but they say it works for most people. And within 14 days, you will feel better. If you have any kind of sore joints or, you know, arthritis, that sort of thing.
Hence the name Joint 14.
Yeah. Yep. Right. So the phone number is very simple for that reason. It's 1-877-JOINT-14, or check them out on the web, sierrasil.ca. And you can get the pills at any of good local health food stores like the Big Carrot here in Toronto or Nature's Emporium in Newmarket.
There you go.
Yeah.
Friends say she's down to earth, and that's usually where you'll find her. Welcome back to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
Keep that picture firmly in your mind. Charlie Dobbin crawling along her front lawn with a wine bag, weeding, doing whatever. As long as she has the wine bag, she's
the wine
happy.
Bag. Yeah, the wine bag or the whip, one or the other, right? Okay. I don't want those boys having any of my wine today. They won't get any work done. So.
That's right. Oh. Now, before we just quickly check in with our next caller that's coming up in a moment, you do receive a lot of emails, and sometimes we just don't get to them often enough. So let's deal with one of your emails, Charlie.
All right. This one's from Diane Secord, and she writes about daylily roots. Mm. And the reason, this is a timely email, so thanks for sending this, Diane. Her question is, she purchased daylily roots. They would have been dormant, little sort of dried up roots in a bag, in a package, that she didn't get around to planting. So she probably purchased them back in, you know, April, May, or June. She wonders, could I still plant them this fall, and what precautions should I take when planting? So bottom line, whenever you buy something and then you forget, and there's a dormant plant like the daylily, go back to that package, Diane. Feel it. Is there any heft to the plant? If the plant is dead, it'll be just dried right up and light as dust. And if that's the case, then it's compost. Or the other thing is that there was moisture in there and it rotted and it could just be mush. And again, it's compost. But if there is a little bit of weight to the bag and it feels like there's some life, you know, almost like an onion, you know, has some, not as heavy as an onion, but just feeling like there's some, you know, fleshiness to that root, meaning there's some life in it. What I would do is I would soak it, for starters. I'd just put it in room temperature water, even for a couple of hours or overnight would make a difference, assuming that it is a little wizened up and you know, struggling. And then main thing is get it in the ground. The sooner the better. And of course, in the ground is roots down. There may or may not be any growth on it. If there is any bit of stem, of course, make sure that's above ground. Put it in a spot where it's full sun, reasonably good soil. Well-drained soil is important, but daylilies can grow just about anywhere. If they're in lots of sun, you'll get lots of flowers. Daylilies will grow in the shade, but not too much flowering in the shade.
But getting that stalk up in the air above ground is not backwards.
Down.
Otherwise, people in China get a big surprise in a couple of months. Well then, alrighty, we're off to the phone lines once again saying hi to Joan in Burlington. Hi, Joan.
Good morning, and a very good morning to you. It's beautiful sunshine, isn't it?
Oh,
that's great.
Lovely.
Now, my question is about cutting down plants. I probably heard this before, and I have forgotten. First of all, the I've even forgotten the darn name of it. It grows on the fence, and it grows tall.
Yes, David got the name from you. It was clematis you were wondering about.
That's terrible. I'm having a senior moment.
Don't worry. It happens to all of us.
I know. Even the ginkgo biloba doesn't always help.
But we try, right?
We try.
Okay, so if you've got clematis growing along the fence, the trick is to know what variety.
Mm-hmm.
Different varieties of clematis are cut down or are pruned differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes down to when this plant flowers. So when does the clematis flower that you have on your fence?
I believe late spring.
Okay, and is it the flower that looks like a star? It's a flat flower, kind of star-shaped, traditional?
No.
What kind of flower?
Oh, God, now you're asking me, because it seems like a long time since I left. It's not in my garden, it's my daughter's garden.
Uh-huh.
But I was helping her yesterday do gardening, weeding, and planting, and it looks so dead.
Oh.
But she said in the spring, all she has to do is take out all those dead stuff and the new stuff is growing there.
Okay. So probably what she has is what we call the summer flowering. Usually it's early summer flowering clematis.
Okay.
And absolutely, we trim them right down. I trim mine right down to about a foot high every spring.
Okay.
And what that does is it forces lots of new growth from the root, and all that new growth, all those green, you know, stems and leaves grow up crazy in the spring, you know, another 5, 6, 10 feet of stem, and they're covered in flowers by July.
So you don't cut it down now?
No, I cut them in the spring. Now, if they're looking really brown and crispy, it could be that she has a case of clematis wilt.
Oh.
And that is not a good thing. What happens is right in the middle of the summer, for no apparent reason, one or two of the stems will just suddenly wilt. Everything's all green, and then all of a sudden, you'll see a whole stem within the vine, all the leaves start to sag, and then of course they slowly but surely get browner and crispier, and there you've got some green and some brown. Sometimes the whole plant will go down with the wilt.
It looks like nothing but a bunch of dried up.
Yeah, so if it's really dried up and brown now, I'd be inclined to trim the whole thing down now.
And what about my hostas then?
Hostas I leave alone. I let them just go right back to the earth and don't even worry about them. Next spring, they're gone anyway.
Because some of them are looking pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean, if they're really unsightly, then cut them. I'd wait till a good frost, though, before you do any cutting. Good hard frost.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Joan.
Thanks, Joan.
Joan just finished calling the numbers to get to Charlie here at the Garden Show. It is in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740, 9:32 our time. And who comes to mind here? The famous actress.
Oh, Joan.
The lilies are...
Catherine.
Oh, Hepburn, yes. The calla lilies are in bloom. And Mike is on the line to talk about that. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Morning, Mike.
Hi, I enjoy your show immensely every week.
Thank you.
I've got a pot full outside of calla lily,
mm-hmm.
the bell-shaped lilies, and quite root-bound. I think I'm right in this. I can't dig them into my garden bed outside for the winter. I have to take them in. Am I correct?
Correct.
All right, and when I take them in, will I just take the bulbs, divide them, and then keep them in peat moss or something of that nature?
Exactly. What I do is I wait, bring them in, obviously dry them off a bit. You can leave them in the pot and just put the pot away in a dark spot if you want. You know, cut them down after the frost. Or, alternatively, take the bulbs out of the soil. And then, yes, it's the main thing is you want them dark and you want them cool. And, yes, just dry peat moss. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just put them in a brown paper bag full of peat moss and put them in a dark, cool spot. And I usually pot mine up while we still have snow on the ground. So I often pot mine up in March so that they are starting to grow and I get flowers sooner that way rather than waiting till June to plant them.
Well, when I just one last aspect. When I have it in the peat moss or vermiculite, do I, from time to time, spray a light spray of water to keep it moist or stay away from that?
Well, you should be able to leave them dry in the peat moss or the vermiculite, but it's always a good idea to check. If they're starting to get really wizened and shrivel up, then yeah, a little spritz with your spritzer just to add a little bit of moisture. It's easy to have too much moisture and they will rot.
Okay, well, so, listen, thank you very much, and you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike, and all those in Scarborough listening in. You are indeed tuned into AM 740, The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Are you set to go to another question here, or
yes,
do you have
so.
A little note?
Well, when you said Happy Thanksgiving, you know, it is Happy Thanksgiving. It's also Happy Yom Kippur.
That's right. Day of Atonement.
High holidays. Oh, yeah, see, you've made your notes there. That's very good.
Well, certainly have.
Let me just quickly share one more email with you. This one is from Karen in Cayuga. She says that she had hollyhock seeds harvested from Barron, I guess is a town in Alberta, last summer when she was visiting for the first time the old family homestead that dates back to the turn of the 19th century. So what she's done is she's collected some heritage seeds heritage plants from the old family homestead. So she's pretty excited about planting these. So she says they're all dried up and she wants to know when to plant them for the next season. So hopefully Karen is listening. She's right to collect. You always collect hollyhock seeds when they're dry, so they've completely matured on the plant. The trick with any seed collecting, particularly when it comes to perennials or in the case of hollyhocks, they're a biennial, always think, what does nature do? And try and mimic what nature does. So nature, those seeds are dried up on the plant, then the seeds drop to the ground at the base of the hollyhocks, basically. If you've collected them yourself, then what you're going to do is you're going to rub to separate the seeds from the husk because they are typically still inside that fruit. Then we sift to remove the chaff, and the chaff, of course, is all that husky outer fruit. Now you've just got some seeds. Now, in nature, we have winter. So winter is what's called the stratification or the cool period that will allow those seeds to germinate. If Karen wants to grow these seeds indoors and be all prepared to take them outdoors next spring, then she'll need to stick those seeds into her refrigerator. But first, we put them into damp peat moss in a plastic Ziploc bag, and we stick that whole bag into the refrigerator minimum 2 weeks before those seeds will germinate. Alternatively, put them outside right now, you know, prepare a seed bed, nice, you know, reasonably
don't
good soil.
Don't bury them too deeply.
No, right on the surface, actually, is how they would be sowed, because that's how nature would sow them, right on the surface.
Mimicking Mama Nature, yes.
That's right. And, of course, winter's coming, that'll all happen. Those seeds should germinate next spring, no problem. No problem. If you're on any kind of a incline, of course, then a little bit of soil just to hold them from washing away.
You are a regular Encyclopedia Britannica. You really are. I feel I should put you on a shelf somewhere. But
thanks for that.
Instead of that, I'll
close that book, eh?
I'll introduce you to Mary Jane, who's calling in from Grimsby. Hello, Mary Jane, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
We have trouble with our Crimson King red maples. All the other leaves on the other trees, they haven't turned at all, but these have got big black spots that almost look like they're burnt. And the leaves are all curling up and getting crispy.
Okay.
Is that a disease?
It's actually two different diseases, I think, you've got going on there. Keep in mind that a Crimson King maple is a Norway maple. And Norway maples are very susceptible to a fungal disease called tar spot. So T-A-R, tar spot. It looks like somebody's taking a paintbrush and shaking a bunch of tar from above onto the leaves. So black circles on Norway maple leaves, very common. It is a fungus that infects the leaves of the plant in the spring. We don't see any evidence of that fungus all through the spring and summer, but as summer starts to wane and the humidity levels start to go up and darkness starts to extend, the black spots start to show up. And generally speaking, we don't worry that this is a disease that's going to shorten the life of these trees. They've had a full season of photosynthesizing, and for those leaves to get these black spots late in the season is not going to cause any kind of shouldn't cause any kind of a problem to ultimately, you know, do
well,
any big damage.
Because they're about 40 years old and we'd hate to lose them.
Oh boy, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the other thing that could be going on with the curling and the browning early is something that we're seeing quite a lot of this year, again, on the Norway maples, is a disease called anthracnose. And anthracnose is, so you may have both those things going on. The leaves tend to be smaller on our trees that have, on our maples that have anthracnose. They also tend to have tip dieback. So the tips of the branches will not have a lot of leaves, but you'll still have lots of leaves lower in the tree. Again, probably will not kill the tree. What I would recommend is two things. Collect the leaves as they drop and remove them from the property so that they're not there to reinfect next spring.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, next year, think about either hiring an arborist or getting a hold of a root feeder and consider deep root feeding that plant, those trees.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't had them trimmed in a long, long time, because Norway maples tend to get very dense, just dark, dark shade below, and they overgrow. They end up not being very happy if there's just too much canopy, too many leaves, too many branches. Consider having them thinned by a certified arborist so that cleaned out, so a little more sun penetration, a little more air penetration into the center of the plant. They will be healthier trees ultimately by having that thinning done to the canopy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary
welcome.
Jane. And is a red bud tree the same as the red maple that...
No, darling.
No. Well, I planted a red bud tree when we used to own a home in St. Catharines.
Oh, it's a very nice tree.
Yeah, and I was so darn proud of it. It was in for about four or five years and really starting to go. We sold the house, and the idiot who bought the house cut it down.
I wonder why.
Well, he cut all of the lovely shrubbery that was around the house. I wasn't responsible for any of it other than the red bud. And this guy was a golf character, you know, who wanted his lawn to look like
a putting green.
So all those horrible old bushes that had flowers, oh, no, they had to go. Well, geez, I wanted to give him a smack in the back of the head with a 2x4, I'm telling you.
Well, and a redbud is not an inexpensive tree. Its proper name is Circus canadensis. It is a native tree. Typically, even a little one, 4 or 5 feet tall when you buy it at a garden center, is going to run you $70, $80, $100.
Yeah.
Now, they grow into big, beautiful trees. They have lovely heart-shaped leaves.
Yep.
And the neat thing about redbud is that they get flowers so early in the spring, well before the leaves emerge. But they're tiny, tiny little flowers, and they're attached right to the stems. And you know how sometimes you see Christmas lights that are all wound, particularly in this like urban environments, sort of streetscapes outside the BIA will have trees and they'll wrap tiny little mini lights along trees. That's kind of what redbud looks like in the spring.
Yeah.
Those pink flowers are tight
quite
to the branches
really.
And the stems, and oh, they're gorgeous. And St. Catharines is the right perfect climate.
Yep.
You know, they're a little bit, they never get really huge once you get up to the Toronto area and north. It's a little too cold here, but I'll tell you, I saw one in Chatham that was to die for. I just slammed my brakes on when I saw this tree. I was like, what is that? It was huge. I mean, it was like 40 feet tall. It was very old, outside a farm somewhere in Chatham. It was unbelievable in full bloom.
Well, I'm sorry to have stolen some of the time from the listeners there. We will get back to their questions in just a moment here. The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on the air.
You supply the what and where, and she'll come through with the how. You're listening to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And I'm Frank Proctor, your sous chef. As I say this to Charlie, I'm your sous chef. Yes,
yes, and I do appreciate all your help.
No problem.
And we
whatsoever.
Just there in that little break, we were just talking about more plants. You know,
yes.
We're just always learning here.
Absolutely. I pick up a whole bunch of stuff. Pat in Mississauga on the line with poinsettia in mind. Good morning, Pat.
Mm. Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Pat.
I'm a balcony gardener, mm-hmm. and I kept my poinsettia from last Christmas, and it's just gorgeous outside on my balcony. Mm-hmm. And I forget the procedure and the times that you have to put it in darkness.
It's a lovely green plant right now.
It certainly is.
Okay. So, again, think of how nature works.
Uh-huh.
It's as the days are getting shorter, we are... To cause the poinsettia leaves that are currently green to turn red, they need 12 hours of dark and 12 hours of light for, I believe it's 6 or 7 weeks. Now, for many people, it's hard to give that pure dark with no light at all. So sometimes people will use like a closet or a place where they know they aren't going to go into, and they'll put the plant in just, you know, as they're going to bed, they'll put the plant to bed in the closet and then 12 hours later, take it out into light. Don't rely on just sort of leaving it in the living room and the sun goes down and that'll work, because street lights and ambient light will affect, and you want no light at all. It's going to be pure black, pure dark.
Okay. Could I, I have to put it in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
Could I put a box over it, mm-hmm. to make sure that no light gets through?
Sure. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Just be careful, because remember, when you break those leaves, you get the white latex, bleeding from the leaves.
Okay.
So just be real careful, because they're pretty fragile, those leaves. Make sure you've got a big enough box to go over top.
Great.
And not bang it around.
And do I water it?
Of course. Yep.
Okay.
Treat it as you've been treating it. Water as necessary. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And make sure it is getting good light when you're giving it light. Just make sure it's pure dark when it's getting its dark.
Good.
Okay.
That's good. I look forward to enjoying my poinsettia.
That's right. Well, good luck with that. It's always a fun challenge.
Happy Thanksgiving to you both.
And
thank you very much. Thanks, Pat.
Bye now.
Bye-bye now. And Rosanna on the line from Woodbridge. Hello and good morning. Welcome to the show, Rosanna.
Thank you. How are you?
Just great.
Morning.
My question, I have a little bit. I'm on the ground floor of a condominium, and I have a lovely terrace that's surrounded by two walls, which are flower beds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've planted a number of hostas and et cetera, to make it look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some peonies, and a couple of them were my mother's, and a couple of irises, but they don't seem to bloom. I have one peony this year gave me flowers like this big. But the other two, I don't know if they're too close together, and the irises, forget it. They've been there for 3 years, and nothing has happened. What could I be doing wrong?
Okay, tell me about how much sun these plants are getting.
Well, not too much. The terrace faces east,
mm-hmm.
and I get sun till about, and I've got them on the sunny side of the terrace,
mm-hmm.
till about 1:30 or 2 o'clock. Then I've got this honking big tree that belongs to my neighbor next door that really gives me a lot of shade, which
right.
I don't like, but... The sun is like a strong east sun in the morning up until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So they're really getting that direct sunlight, right, for a good 4 or 5 hours, even though it's morning sun?
Well, it's not. Well, it's half direct, because there's another tree across from me that's kind of giving me shade. But there's a big space between these two trees, mm-hmm. that gets really, really hot, and there is quite a bit of sun.
Okay. I mean, bottom line with both irises and peonies, they should be in what we call full sun.
Oh.
And the definition of full sun is 6 hours or more of direct sunlight daily.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be what's causing your problem, is that it's just insufficient light. The other reason why both, particularly peonies, but irises as well, will fail to flower is because they've been planted too deep. So both of them need to be planted almost right on the surface of the soil. Very, very high. You know, we just don't bury them down like you would bury a potato. They go right up so that the buds, whether it's an iris, tuber, or a peony, they're literally, the buds are just right at the surface.
That's probably what it is.
So try that first. And because you may, you know, it's funny. I mean, many plants will cope. They'll just flower anyway, and they'll get used to having less sun than what is ideal.
Right.
But, you know, if you're getting a good 2 or 3 hours of direct sunlight, I would expect them to flower somewhat.
Should I dig them up and replant them now, or should I wait till the spring?
Nope. If you do it in the spring, you'll definitely not get flowers. So do it now in an effort to get flowers next spring.
Okay, so before I cut everything down, before winter sets in, I can do that.
Yep, and actually, you'll find it easier to deal with the peony to cut it down first and then raise it, just because it's hard, a little tricky to deal with a ton of leaves on it. And I like to have a good hard frost, if you can, first on the peony before you cut it down. But, you know, if you need to do it this weekend because the weather's great, just do it this weekend anyway.
I will. I've got a hosta there that I'm just looking at now that I may move because that's in full sun right now.
There you go.
And I may move that peony over.
Perfect. Sounds brilliant.
Thank you so much and have a happy Thanksgiving to your family.
Thank you, Rosanna, for providing the best audible eureka moment. I love your gasp when I think you've buried it too deep. yes, that's it.
And that's great, too, to be able to swap that brighter spot with a hosta and put it in the lower light. Perfect.
There you are. And here we are at our break time. And she's break dancing next to me. That is Charlie Dobbin doing the, well, it looked like the Hawaiian luau sort of thing.
Yes, going on there. Multi-talented.
You are. I would say so.
Yeah, speaking of multi-talented, Dave Gaskin, man, he's a pianist, like amazing.
Yep, I've heard about him. Yeah,
no, I had
grand
just heard
piano
him today
in the
first time
in the concert lobby there. Wow,
multi-talented. So if you know, and I'm just again thinking about whether we're Hawaiian dancing or playing the piano or gardening, you want to be active, you want to be pain-free. Sierra Sil can help if you have any kind of joint pain, whether it's knees or hips or hands or wrists. Both Frank and I take Sierra Sil to remain as active as we possibly can. It is available over the phone. It's available via the web, or it's available in any good health food store. The Peanut Mill in St. Catharines carries Sierra Sil, as does Whole Foods everywhere. I don't know. I can't afford to shop in Whole Foods myself. But goodness me, that's a great little store in Hamilton. I used to do a radio show in Hamilton. And Janet, the owner of Goodness Me, had the show before me. She used to do a healthy show followed by the gardening show.
As opposed to a sick show, which I do.
Yes, yes. Exactly. And as opposed to Marilyn, who's here before us. And
yes.
She does, you know, from
the
woman's perspective.
Doctor.
That's right. She always gives me a hard time because I need help. The doctor. Bottom line, for more information about Sierra Sil, give them a call, 1-877-JOINT-14.
And it doesn't matter what Marilyn says. I think your jumpsuit is just terrific.
The pajamas.
We'll be back in a moment.
There are hundreds of sources for tips on gardening, but you need only one. The AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin continues.
I'm almost convincing myself to sing, "Hey, Jude."
almost.
Jude in Cambridge on the line about water lilies. Hi, Jude.
Hi there. I should have expected that one.
I guess. From Frank, yeah.
Yeah, I get that quite often.
I'll bet you.
Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
I have a water lily.
Mm-hmm.
And my pond is not very deep.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, could you tell me, I don't know much about them. How deep does the pond have to be to leave them out over the winter?
About 3 feet.
3 feet.
How deep is your pond?
I don't think it's 3 feet. Can they be brought in and put in water in the house?
No, let them go dormant. You know what I do with my water plants? I have don't even have a real pond. I just have an above ground water feature that I empty and hang up in the garage every winter. So with the water plants, I bury them in my garden once it's cold enough. Once, you know, it's cold enough, they just go dormant. I bury them, pot and all, into the garden. And you could do the same with your water lilies once it's cold enough. The fear is if you leave them in the pond and the pond freezes solid right to the bottom, the lilies could die.
It did. My last one did, and that's why I'm wondering about whether I could bring this in and perhaps put it in water in the basement sort of thing.
Well, you could. Sometimes people do that. They convert a whole bathtub into a water garden for the winter. Like if the fish, for example, if the pond might freeze solid.
Yeah, I bring my fish in and put them in a tank.
That's right. Could you put try and put the water lily in the tank with the fish?
No, it kind of mucks up the tank.
Yeah. So you're right. You know, you could just get a deep enough whatever, sort of a Rubbermaid container, mm-hmm. and bring the water lily in and keep it going there. And it's been a while since I read up on water lilies. So you know what I'll do? Let me report back first thing, top of the show next week.
Okay.
Because I know there's options there. One is to keep the water lily going. Mm-hmm. The other would be to enforce some dormancy on it. Mm-hmm. But bringing it in being the best way to ensure that it does stay alive.
Okay.
So I'll report back on options for you next week.
I'd appreciate that.
Okie doke.
Thank you, and have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, Jude.
Na, 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 na. Well, I'm doing that because I want to give a little plug to The Diner. The first song that's going to be out of the gate is a holdover from last week where, you know, our listeners choose the music.
Yes.
The No-No Song by Ringo Starr will be on. It's been a long time since I've heard that.
No kidding.
So I'm looking forward to my own show.
Well, I am too now.
Well, I better stick with you.
I'll be tuning in.
Val in Guildwood's on the line. Hello, Val. Good morning.
I just went out and picked you a lovely leaf from my Norway maple, Charlie. It's three black spots and one brown, but that's normal, right?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty common. Tar spot really only, we started seeing it about 5 or 6 years ago, and now we seem to be seeing it like every season.
It's a healthy tree, but the leaves are quite ugly. But anyway, just wanted to ask you about my sweet potato vine. Mm-hmm. Shall I bring it in, or what'll I do?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to do?
Well, it's beautiful, but right now it's quite happy because it's still warm here.
Of course.
You know?
Well, it will die in the frost.
Yes.
So if you want to keep it alive, you will need to bring it in.
Bring it in. Yes.
Now, of course, it's probably a huge plant.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate to cut it back when you
bring it back.
And put it in lots of sun.
Right.
And allow it to... You won't get a lot of growth out of it this winter.
Well, I could put it and make it dormant if that's easier.
Well, that's right. I think you'll find that it will naturally tend to slow right down anyway. So be careful with your watering. Only water as required.
I see.
Okay. And if you're really hungry, you can always eat it.
Yes. For Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you very much, Val. We have time for one more call here. And it's Elizabeth.
Do we?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the clock and saying, yes, we do.
Okay.
Elizabeth in Hamilton. Hello there. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm calling regarding an azalea plant that my daughter gave me at Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful and it has been growing to look like a small tree.
Oh,
the
nice.
The stalk is about a foot high and then the beautiful big flower was on top.
Mm-hmm.
It all died, like the flowers all died, mm-hmm. and actually the leaves all died.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept feeding it and taking care of it, and now I have a beautiful tree of leaves.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And it's been like that for a couple of months, but I'm not getting any flowers.
Did you put it outside for the summer, or was it inside?
It was outside for the summer in a pot.
Okay.
And I brought it in now, but I put it out on a warm day like it's been the last couple of days.
Perfect.
I went to our local nursery,
uh-huh.
and they told me I should give it aluminum sulfur.
Aluminum sulfate.
And so they only had it in one size, which is 2 kilograms.
Yes, big
and
quantity.
Told me to put 3 teaspoons in a liter of water.
Okay.
And put it on.
So you
I had also been using Miracle-Gro before that.
Okay.
And will I ever get flowers?
Oh, I think you'll be surprised, actually. If it's been outside and it's beautiful and green right now.
It's lovely.
Then I actually anticipate that you're going to call me in about 3 weeks and say, guess what? It's covered in flowers.
Really?
If you look closely, you may even see buds right now. Right on the tips is where the buds will form.
Yes.
Of course, a leaf bud and a flower bud are slightly different because the flower bud is a rounder bud.
Yes.
And if you've been caring for it as well as it sounds like you have, it is either setting buds, it either has buds on it now or it's in the process of setting buds because this
Wonderful.
Is exactly what it will do.
Now, shall I continue with Miracle-Gro?
Sure.
And then also the aluminum sulfate?
Yeah, that I wouldn't, you might, yeah, Frank gets this look on his face because I think he's worried that you're hurting it. Azaleas are acid-loving plants, mm-hmm. and the aluminum sulfate is helping to lower the pH, which is fine.
Okay.
I personally probably wouldn't I mean, you're doing a really good job. I would probably just get the fertilizer that is designed for acid-loving plants.
Oh.
And it has sulfur in it.
Oh.
And it helps keep the pH low. But you already own the aluminum sulfate and you own the Miracle-Gro. Carry on with what you're doing. But do let the plants have a rest from fertilizer once it finishes flowering.
Yeah.
And then start fertilizing again next spring.
Okay.
Okay.
Now this, what
Elizabeth,
I've been doing is putting it on separately.
That's fine.
Like 1 week when I watered, I put on the one, and the next
yep.
week the other.
Not a problem. Keep yep. doing that.
I'm
Thanks,
sure
Elizabeth.
We've run out of racetrack.
Okay, gotta go.
Okay. Thank you.
And you too.
News time approaches with Paul,
yes,
and then
does.
The guys are here with the Dave's Corner Garage. But hey, just quickly, very
happy
Thanksgiving.
And Thanksgiving.
You get home.
Lots of turkey, lots of pie.
Start making those pies.
And whip those boys into
yes.
shape. Yes. And have a great show later on. Thanks,
Thank you, Dave.
David. See everybody next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.